Welcome. Winning at life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do it every weeknight at 7. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Get the phone, make the call. Just like Susan Grosjean has done. 504-260-0995. James?
Yeah, I'm your co-host, James Parker. This is your wallet's second favorite host. But coming up after we talk to Susan, we're going to talk about a question that came in from the app that said, how can I get my mother-in-law out of a reverse mortgage? Well, is that a good thing? Because some people don't get along with their mother-in-law as swimmingly as I get along with mine. I think he's actually trying to help her out, though, on this one. And then we're going to talk about, what do you do with that old 401k, the one that's floating around at the old job, and you just kind of forgot about it, but you know there's some money there. Gregory, explain a little bit of what's going on with that. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, Gregory, Hall of Fame financial advisor, loves to take your questions. It's our favorite hobby. In fact, I need to turn this TV station because it's going to get very distracting soon. All right, 504-260-0995. So let's go ahead and get to Susan. Susan Grosjean. She is my sometimes co-host on my side project, my side gig, where I fill in on News with a Twist on WGNO here in the New Orleans area. Susan, thank you very much for joining us. How can we help you today?
You bet. I thought you were going to call me your side piece, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
No, that's secret info. Don't share that.
Okay, no. Yes, I do have a question for Gregory, this time not involving my dad or his will or anything like that. This is simply percentages. I have two accounts with a local brokerage. I believe in the people that set it up. I've known them for years. But this is what I got going. I've got one account that as of my October 31st statement. It was 9.2% for the year in terms of return. Then I have a 401, an IRA, a rollover of several 401ks, and it's at negative 1.73. And then I have Vanguard. It's the most aggressive stock I could possibly get at my local television station, and it's fully in stock, even though for my age I'm supposed to have some bonds, blah, blah, blah. I just know that it's a Vanguard stock, Vanguard Institutional Index Fund, something, something. When I signed up for it, when I got the synopsis of all of them, it was the most aggressive. It was investing in riskier things overseas, blah, blah, blah. But it has a 17.9% return. And every time I get a quarterly statement from them, it's like off the charts. For example, I started with about $60,000 in 2014. I'm now at about $215,000. So I'm not sure what's going right and what's going wrong, or if this is just the way things are supposed to go.
Now, the percentages, did you give me, were all those for the same timeline?
Except for, they were all as of October 31st.
Okay. Well, you have some good values there, considering October was not a good month for the market, nor has November been either. So you're probably overall at lower points. But you had one that was what, a negative 1.3?
1.7.
Yeah, that sounds to me that probably sounds like a bond portfolio there, where you're not having much upside, but with interest rate hikes, because I've seen some similar numbers like that on bond portfolios, meaning the interest rate hikes drive down the bond values, and it's typical number because of the interest rate hikes that we've had.
Well, actually, this one is all in those exchange-traded funds, which my brokers have explained to me numerous times, and yet I still say, wait, I don't get it. So it's all, they switched the IRA account entirely to ETFs. The other kitty that's just with them is a variety of stocks, Coca-Cola, Cisco with an S, Walgreens. But the IRA, they said for tax purposes, so I wouldn't get taxed on it, they switched it all to ETFs. And though it seems to give me a good, there's good dividends, I still wonder why it's in the barrel, at the bottom of the barrel in terms of the return.
It probably sounds like it's bond related, and you can have ETFs that can be various duration of bond lengths, and the duration on a bond that they could be holding could be 5 year, 10 year, could be 30 years. But once again, when, you know, think of the picture a seesaw, where one side you have interest rates pushing up and the other side would be the bond values going down. So it can be ETFs that are holding bonds and treasuries within that as well, is what gives me reasoning for that. You know, as far as equities, and once again, it depends timing. So once again, I'll ask this question a different way. Is that year-to-date returns? Or is it one, okay, year-to-date returns? Mm-hmm. So you've got some good returns in there, but with that 401k that you've been putting money into for that started out at 60 and is now over 200, mm-hmm. you're probably contributing a pretty good bit to that as well.
But then why would it say that the return, wouldn't that be counted as just simple income and not the fund performance summary?
Well, if it's given you a percentage of return year to date, that should be the growth of the fund that it's in or that overall account. But part of your valuation is you didn't just put $60,000 in there and didn't add to it for it to go from 60 to 200. You've contributed a good bit of money, and that's different than what the return is. So I'd say you have a good mix. I don't know what those ETFs are, and you know, as far as the market, it just depends on how you're invested. Some are doing okay at this point. Some are not doing so good. Some are really worried because of what's going on in the market. And we had it push up today to a level I talked about on Tuesday, was my concern that we were probably going to hit resistance and this thing pull back. So we think tomorrow's a really important day as the market goes.
Do the thing where you explain the evolution into ETFs in about 1 minute.
Well, ETFs, one reason to use them, Susan, is exchange traded funds, which means they trade at the market, where you're using mutual funds a lot of times in 401ks. You're not getting out of that till the close of business. So whether we've got an up or down day, and we're not really talking about day trading ETFs or anything like that, but if I'm deciding it's time for me to get out of that index or pull away from the market, I can sell that account, that ETF, that exchange traded fund at noon, 1 o'clock, 2:30, at 2:59, or 9 in the morning, where mutual fund, when does it empty out? At 3 o'clock, if you had put a sell on it. So that's why we like exchange traded funds. Expense ratios are much lower as well in those. I just don't know what you're invested in to cause that difference. To me, it sounds like treasuries and bond mix.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. Truthfully, though, I don't plan to sell anything, and I would hope the broker wouldn't either, until I retire. I don't want to keep all this cooking for a long time.
Well, you want to be part of the growth. I'm not a buy and hold guy. We've probably are about 50% invested versus coming into this downturn, maybe 80, 85%. So we've dialed it back. So we like to protect gains. And if something's just going off the grid, really being impacted, we don't want to ride that down. Because when you start thinking about it, well, where is the bottom? There isn't a bottom. In 08, the Great Recession, where was that bottom? It just kept going and going and going. So I don't have that kind of tolerance. And our rules that we've developed over the years kind of prevent us from that decision. Now, you could go the Warren Buffett way and say, you know, 40 years from now, everything's going to be worth a lot more. My clients don't look 40 years out. They're kind of worried about the next 5 to 10 years. They're worried about tomorrow as well. So we manage money a little bit differently than the industry overall.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that there's nothing screwy going on, and I will continue to save as much as I can.
Awesome. Keep it up. Great job. And, you know, when you have something of all those accounts you mentioned, you're doing really good. You've got one a little bit off, but that probably keeps you balanced as well overall, assuming it's, once again, bonds, bond-type okay. ETFs.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Greg, and thank you, James.
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I'll see you Monday through Wednesday next week.
News with a twist, 10 and 11. See you then.
See you, Susan. Yeah, she's got to be pretty happy, though, with that one that's getting 17.9% return.
Considering what happened in October. She's just talking about being aggressive, and that's worked out. So she obviously had more gains than that because it did get dialed back on her.
Yeah, I guess so, right? It was probably at 24% or something a couple of months ago. See, now I got burned because I got into the hyper-aggressive stuff when I first set up a 401k, and the next time the market went down, well, it was 2008, that was the one that went down the most. So 17.9% on the upside when it's a pretty happy year. You ever see these things go like 18% negative on the bad? Because I don't think mine did that bad. It lost like 11% or something.
Well, in 08, you know, the overall market was down 38%. So, yeah, that's pretty steep. We don't want to do that. So when things start going haywire, where is the bottom? Oh, it's going to be fine. What's a problem, though, is retirees taking income. And let's say you have $1 million and you're taking 3% of income. So that's $30,000 a year, $30,000 from that year. But if that account drops to $800,000, that's a 20% off. Oh, then you go look at what that you're taking $30,000 off $800,000. Your percentage just went up quite a bit. So is that going to be something that's recoverable from that? Are you going to reduce your income by 20% because the market goes down? No, you need to level that out and also kind of have what is that tolerance? You know, are you good? You know, you don't mind $1 million going down to $620,000?
Oh, I couldn't stand
good?
That.
No, that's not good. And nobody really can, but a lot of people did. And we just don't want that to happen. We're going to have a tolerance because, look, if you've got out at a good point, there is a good point to get back in, too. Just because you get out doesn't mean you stay out.
504-260-0995, or you can give us a call from the front screen on the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7 o'clock, weeknight, 7 o'clock. If we're preempted, say, by a Pelicans ball game, jump over to the stream. You can do that through iHeartRadio app. And if you have that, you ought to have the Winning at Life app because you go in there and click it. It connects you all the way through. Get both. Be safe. But use the Winning at Life app. Go connect to the listen button. And you're all hooked up. Had a client tell me, you know, I have a tough time listening down in Houma. So some of these areas might be at the reach of the antenna. So, but not out of the reach if you have cell signal, basically, or internet. You'll pick up the show. And that's easy to download. Just go to your app store and download that. Does Apple run all the app stores?
No, they just run the one that's called the App Store. Google has the Google Play Store. Amazon
okay,
has the Amazon
so the
Store.
App Store is always Apple.
Technically, but in the parlance.
So does Android have the App Store on their phone?
No, they don't call it the App Store.
But could they have the App Store?
They have an App Store, like lowercase a, lowercase s, but the official App Store's. That's Apple's if you uppercase it.
Yeah.
But everyone knows that you say App Store. Whatever you use to get apps on your phone, whatever phone
it's
you
like,
may have.
Give me a Coke.
Yeah. What kind? Dr. Pepper.
Kleenex. Yeah. I need a Kleenex.
It's exactly like Kleenex, where the official brand name has become the generic name for some reason. But yeah, go to your App Store. It's there. There is a one-time login, but that's just so you have the full functionality. You can't send us a text without us knowing a return address. So it'll ask for your address once. From then on, though, I find myself using the Winning at Life app, even if I want to stream our flagship station, and it's not during our show, because it's so much faster. I turn on our app, and I have on the front screen, listen, and it just pulls right up. I don't have to open the app and then scroll through my favorite stations and then pull it up. It actually cuts out a little bit of a step. Now, we had this one.
504-260-0995 is the number to call directly in. That app, the Winning at Life app from the App Store or wherever you get it from. You email and text us and so forth, even call the show from that. But 504-260-0995. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, well, we got the question from Mark via the app here. You want to do the honors, or you want to do the topic, what do you do with that old 401k first?
Let's see. How can I get my mother-in-law out of a reverse mortgage?
Yeah, so we'll do Mark first. This is Mark's question from the app.
Let's see what I'm looking at here.
Now, Dwayne, didn't call these maturity events?
You can undo a reverse mortgage. It's not a permanent thing if you do not want it to be. Most reverse mortgage loans come with a period called right of rescission, similar to a cooling off period. The cancellation right provides borrowers 3 business days after signing their reverse mortgage closing paperwork to change their mind and cancel the transaction. Let's see. There's a little bit more to this. If a borrower chooses to change their mind about a reverse mortgage, they only have to alert their lender in writing within the allowable 3 business days. Let's see. There's something here. A lender must cancel all loan documents, return all fees and unused funds paid by the consumer within 20 days. So it's kind of like if you have that reverse mortgage remorse, you can undo that. Let's see. Overall, the best way of getting out of a reverse mortgage, and this is super easy, is by repaying the balance of the loan in full, which would mean the amount you've borrowed, which is you've taken distributions from the reverse, the money that you've received from it, and then interest that's accumulated. So it's real easy. This isn't some dirty, nasty thing, but it's not so different than the balance of your mortgage on your house that you've been paying off. So what, honey, how much do we owe? Well, $35,000. So what, I'm just in the mood to write a check to pay that off. Well, we need to get a good due date on that because interest accumulates every day. So if you've done a car deal and you've had a balance on that car you're trading in, that car dealer's calling your lender and getting a loan balance with a good due date, meaning this is the amount if paid off by December 5th, hypothetically.
Right.
And that's going to be the same way on a reverse mortgage. What is the balance? Because it's what you borrowed, and it's not the equity line of credit, but what you've taken out of that reverse. Are you taking it monthly income and done so for a year? Well, it's a year worth of that and the interest, and there are loan costs on originating that. So if that was built in and not paid up front, that would be due as well. So it's not complicated.
Yeah. And I recall a recent visit by Dwayne Stein on our show. He's the Total Wealth Authority guy that handles the mortgages, Mortgage Gumbo. And he went through the list of all the ways he's seen people come out of a reverse mortgage, and they've got a plan for everything. They've got a plan for if you have to go into a nursing home and you need to sell your house. I mean, they deal with this all the time. If you get a vacation house and you end up staying there more than 12 months and it becomes your primary residence and you got to sell,
Well, what you're talking about, there's maturity events. This was addressing if somebody wants to undo the mortgage, but there's other situations where it's going to get undone because nobody's living in the house anymore is kind of a narrative of that.
So I hope that helps you out, Mark. There's 1,000 different scenarios that could fit in the details under what you asked. How can we undo this reverse mortgage? Just know that it can be undone, and it is quite often undone, and it's not going to be anything new to the professionals that you have, or it shouldn't be anything new to the professionals you've assigned to help you with this event.
You know, it's just like inheriting a home that also came with a reverse mortgage. So it means there's debt tied to the house. It's no different than inheriting a house that the people had not finished paying off from when they bought it. Either way, if it's a reverse mortgage with a $40,000 balance, or their equity line of credit, or their original mortgage to purchase the home, and say in every case it's $40,000, well, how do I get rid of that mortgage? You pay off the mortgage and interest due to the good to date. There, it's the same thing. You just pay off the debt or make arrangements to handle it otherwise. Inheriting a home with a mortgage, you're probably not leaving that debt as it is, by the way. You're going to have to go qualify for that debt. You know, there's going to be something you're going to have to deal with there. But once again, you can even go in and do it. If you're taking over that property, assuming ownership, you can probably do a refi on that debt if there wasn't other funds in the estate to kind of clear that out.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. So Gregory heard some bad advice being given out.
Bad advice.
It wasn't just me and somebody else. There were a couple other people talking. I was not part of this conversation, but I was made aware of it. So the guy says, "Hey, what do you think I should do with my old 401k? Anybody got any ideas? I don't know what to do with it." And so, look, if that happens around me, I'm just going to be quiet and listen, unless you're talking directly to me, because I find these discussions fascinating. The response was a far overconfident. Well, obviously, I mean, the easiest thing to do, which you probably should do, is just roll it into your new one. Duh. And it was kind of a condescending sort of know-it-all response, which tickled me because that's wrong.
It may not be completely wrong. That is one of your options. And depending upon how many choices you have there, I was talking with a couple yesterday, and they have money left in their 401k quite a bit. And she's been self-managing this money for about a decade, and well, actually a little longer. But she seems to have done a pretty good job, and she is proud because she does all this trading and so forth, and she's not real active. She just kind of buy and holds, and then at some point, okay, it's time to sell. But she was pointing out to me that she has all these options within that 401k, and that's not the typical 401k where you pretty much have unlimited ability to buy about anything that the market presents from a trading standpoint. And I'm not going to mention it, but it's the same one we use as a custodian as well, which that company handled her 401k also. And I said, they're retired. And I said, I probably would not leave that there. Well, what if we're needing you to start helping us and take over? Because one of these things is, look, she's done okay. But she's realizing there's a day to come that she won't be, and let's say them, and I'm going to cover this a little more after we finish, but what about that day comes that you are not making sharp decisions regarding the buy and sells? What do you do?
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I am Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. 504. You weren't ready? I'll start over. This is the number to call. You know that phrase? Get the phone, make the call. 504-260-0995. Let's hear your question. your thoughts about the market, about oil, your pension lump sum, that annuity. And by the way, most people don't correlate annuities correctly when they purchase them. They don't understand the difference between indexed and variable annuities. They don't understand bonuses, margins, caps. It's not that simple. Are you making a good decision or a bad decision? I challenge you, get a second opinion if you're having that kind of discussion, and call my office during the day, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. But any of these topics you want to have a discussion about, we can talk about the difference between those annuities. Just call and ask. 504-260-0995.
All right, Brett over here in Facebook Live, we'll answer your question after Gregory finishes this story. See that big paragraph that just popped up?
Yeah, you've captured it.
That's Brett. I got a hold on it, and this will be a great question for the show. Okay. But you left us with a story when we stepped aside.
Yes, and we were talking about the subject of leaving your 401k at the old job or not. And this was a couple that came in to talk about help with their money and the changing environment. And it's become a lot more difficult for her to do it herself. And one of the reasons was she does admit there will come a day that her and her husband won't have the ability to probably direct those assets, whether the buys and sells, or come a day where if they were to keep on, like, okay, when you lose the ability to make good decisions, see that you're causing yourself some losses, and do you have the ability to choose though at that time? I liked her idea of, like, we're wanting to start exploring this to add somebody to our team to help. And that's what I believe. And that's what I always tell people every day. You're not losing control. We're not taking over everything. You're hiring us to be a part of your team of those to help take care of you. Because I'll ask that question. Well, who's going to help you? And she's like proud of her 401k and showed me these pages. Oh, I can do all these things inside of my 401k. And I said, actually, that's our custodian as well. And if you can do all that in your 401k, we can do that, all that in your IRA, which a 401k, what would you do with it? Roll it over to an IRA account. So it'd be a rollover IRA, and we could do all those things and actually more options out there. So that was something to think about. So you could roll it over to the new job, but if you're somebody that's retired, there's not a new job. So are you going to leave it in the old 401k? How many options do you have there? Sometimes it's 50 different mutual funds. Sometimes it's 20. Sometimes it's 10, or you could be like this couple. It could be hundreds of options there, but there's more to think about. And part of that is a part of estate planning. You know, is the spouse the beneficiary, or is there other beneficiaries in the mix? A non-spousal beneficiary is probably going to have to move that money within a very short period of time. So what you want to look at is, where are you in life? Are you still working? Are you not working? And look at, what are your opportunities? Because if you think about your opportunities, you might not want to roll it into that new job 401k. If you are not continuing to work, does it make sense to stay there, or will it improve estate planning if you move it elsewhere? Does it give you more options? So those are some of the discussions you have to have. And, you know, I'd like to say you probably should use a fiduciary, a licensed fiduciary like our firm, to have that conversation. But I know we've got listeners across the country. Look, if sometimes you're wanting, you know, you might be in Iowa, you might be in Vegas, LA, New Jersey and kind of like, oh, I don't know who to talk to. You can call our office and ask for some guidance on that, because we do have a network of fiduciaries that we could hook you up with. Look, I don't know, and there's no compensation deal, but we've done that time to time. But also, we could help you by just doing a video meeting and such on some of these questions. We just want to help you make the correct decision on what's best for you to do with that money, and you do have options.
Just a quick rundown, reasons you would want to roll it into your new 401k. Take the old 401k and roll it into the new one.
Well, it does keep your life simpler, because now you have everything in one place. Are you fine with that money rolling in there and staying there till you eventually leave that job? Because you're not unwinding. It's like, well, that was my money from the other job. I want to take it out now and move it elsewhere. You're not undoing it once you put it in there. So how many options do you have within that 401k? If you're trading within that 401k, when does that trade happen? A lot of times it's like next day. It's not right now when you do a trade within a 401k. So you want to look at that. Or do you have more choices rolling it over to an IRA and being in a separate account from your 401k? So those are the things you need to think about in making that decision.
All right. If you have any questions on what you can do with your old 401k, or anything else financial, 504-260-0995. Brett, over here in Facebook Live, you ready for this one?
I am.
And hello, everyone watching us on the streams. We're on Periscope, at Gregory Ricks, and we're on Facebook Live as well. Look for the Winning at Life page. Brett says, greeting, guys. Hello, Brett. I like ETFs right now. We don't have anything to save because we are serving debt, but we are putting money away for our kids in a growth ETF. Thoughts?
Repeat it again.
Okay, starts off, I like ETFs. Right now, we don't have anything to save because we are serving debt, but we are putting money away for our kids in a growth ETF. Thoughts?
Okay, so he's using an exchange-traded fund.
Yes.
There. And for the kids, they're paying off debt, so they probably have minimal emergency money. And that's a couple concerns I have. Yeah, and it's great to pay off debt, but make sure you keep a little cash handy as well, because you get into a bind, you're probably having to grab the kids' money back as well. Depending on those ages, the thing about the market can be timing when that money's necessary. So when it gets closer needing to draw those funds is something you might consider, where the mix, so that you won't be so aggressive or so growth oriented on those assets, that some shorter timelines on some of that money might be put into effect in the management style when you're having to withdraw funds to pay the tuition and so forth of the student.
Is it getting too fancy if, like, you think it's a down market, so you just want to put money on the side instead of putting it directly to risk or putting it directly in the ETF for now?
So it depends on how often they're contributing. If they're adding monthly, yeah, I don't necessarily just every month put it in, because if we've got a situation like now, I'd kind of be hesitant. I'd let that cash pile up a little bit, but I would want to wait and see. So let's say they're continuing their position as a buy and hold, but the money they're piling up, because what you're seeing happen is every month what you're contributing is dropping in value after you contribute it. So let's pause and see when the buying opportunity is.
He just responded. He said college is about 10 years out. Does that change any of the thoughts here?
Well, let's think about it from a decade standpoint. When we look at it historically, about every 7 years out of 10, the market's finished up. So now what you have to deal with is that downside part of it, and you don't want that happening when you're paying tuition and such down the road. So I don't look at it as investing as simply as, well, let me just find 20 stocks or 20 ETFs or one ETF and put it in there every month and we're good. Remember 08? I'd like to avoid a pretty good bit of that 38% downturn. I had liked to buy at lower prices, so I'm not necessarily always going to put my cash in consistently. I'll put my yearly total in, but I may get it in at different points. And there's points in time where I might dial it back because I hate values going down. But I am a money manager, and I've got different resources than you do. But those are just some of the things to think about. But it's like somebody getting at college time or retirement time. It's maybe time to be a little more careful.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life After Party. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Winning at Life, the daily wrap. We could do an after party show, huh? After party, after the show one day.
Well, we're already having the after party. We would just have to turn on the microphones.
Okay. Hey, I'm Gregory Ricks, your host. That's James Parker. We're always with you here about your money to help you win with your money. That's how we keep score. We kind of like it to keep piling up. Improve the decisions. We can't make right decisions 100% of the time. You know, it's like using the different types of investment or savings vehicles, whether you're using some fixed interest annuities, CDs, indexed annuities, some equities, some bonds. Hopefully you're doing things that are always liquid. We're not illiquid. But here's one of my things. It's everything doesn't work all the time. And that's why you need diversification. You need balance. You need a risk number. And you need to have all this correlated. And watch out for the sparkly things as well. Like, oh, you know, so wow. Yeah, get a second opinion.
I got a story.
You like that, huh?
Well, because I got a story on sparkly grinning things over here.
504-260-0995.
We couldn't have drawn it up on the chalkboard any better. Sparkly things. Is there anything more sparkly and shiny and trendy right now than a cryptocurrency ICO, an initial coin offering? Few things I can think of are more trendy and painful in the
financial world. Well, how's that going for...
Do you already see the story?
Bitcoin.
Well, hang on now. This is a different story. Hey, producer Angie, do we have any DJ Khaled up in the next gen that you can share with us? Because DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather have reached a settlement with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission over their failure to disclose payments they received for promoting initial coin offerings involving cryptocurrency firms. Mayweather was charged with failing to disclose a $100,000 payment from Centratech. And this is DJ Khaled with Justin Bieber and a few other guys. Strangely enough, I learned his real name. You know what DJ Khaled's real name is? Khaled. Has the same first name and same last name. But he also got a $50,000 payment from Centratech to promote an initial coin offering. And all they did was go on social media, and since they didn't add in a little disclaimer that they were paid endorsers, SEC takes their rules pretty, you know, all about how serious they take their promotional rules. And so Floyd Mayweather goes on Facebook, as says it's a game changer. DJ Khaled says something similar. Floyd actually said, you can call me Floyd Crypto Mayweather from now on. And they are all in trouble. Centratech's co-founders were indicted on conspiracy, securities fraud, and wire fraud charges, saying they fabricated business partnerships to get investments from the public. So they got in trouble for promoting a fraud. They got in trouble for promoting something that wasn't even real to begin with. But even if it was real, they would have gotten in trouble anyway because of all these little disclosures that are thrown out there. Floyd Mayweather, do you really need the money that bad? Didn't you just make $300 million from beating up Conor McGregor last year?
I think he owed that in taxes.
So he gets $100,000. Think, oh, finally, I get a break here. No, you don't get a break, because now Floyd Mayweather will have to pay more than $600,000 in fines for that $100,000 payment he got from Centratech. So $300,000 in disgorgement, It's a fee for disgorgement. There's another penalty, or just a straight up $300,000 penalty, and then $14,000 in interest on top of it. What a mess. You guys, you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to cryptocurrency, and you know it. Why are you endorsing things? Don't you have a lawyer that can at least check on this for you somewhere in your entourage of 28 dudes that have to clog up the airports? So that shiny things, that's what you're talking about. Sparkly, shiny things, run away.
Bitcoin back on January. Well, let me give you this date. November 30th of 2013, $1,127.64.
Did you say 2013?
2013. Now, we've been covering Bitcoin longer than that. However, we'll look at 2013 because we've been doing the show for almost 9 years, and most of that time we've covered Bitcoin. So 1127 is what I'm looking here. And we're looking at $15,075 December 23rd of 2017. And I know Dwayne Stein shared with us that he had bought in somewhere below the top, but when it was on its way down, thought he was buying on a dip, and then it dipped some more, and he got away from it, thank goodness. But just knowing that top, we saw $15,075, so there's another top on May 5th of $9,800, and today we're showing it at $4,215, and we saw it just over the past few days dip below 4,000 to around the 3,700 range. So, you know, it's tough. Like, oh, I wish I'd have got in. Well, would you have sold at 15,000? Maybe not, because you thought it was going to 18,000, and then it dips to 9,000. Well, this is the bottom. It's coming. I'm actually buying more, and then it just continues down. See how difficult those decisions can be?
You want to go in the Wayback Machine here to 2013 when we were talking about it? This is not the first segment. I think this is the second or third segment when we talked about it, because you were already beating me up over it because I already made some boo-boos here. This is from May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, 2013.
And what did you buy in at last week, James?
I don't know. Look,
James, tell them the story. What did you do?
So I've invested an imaginary 10 grand in Bitcoin. It's a virtual currency.
And here's my point is you bought in at $130 and some change last Saturday with your $10,000. And if you're expecting to use your Bitcoin to buy that HP drive, you're going to need more of them now, because your price per Bitcoin is $103.42.
Wow.
Ouch.
So $103 on that.
Yeah, that's a little bad timing. If you was to hold it and have sold it today, you'd be up.
But I have no idea. I didn't know what I was doing. No one knows what they're doing. There's no precedent for any of this. But that's it's always a fun little flashback, isn't it?
Yeah. Floyd, but, you know, when that went up to that 15,000, people were buying at that level.
Because they thought it was going
to drove it up.
So people were saying, Gregory, it's going to go to 100,000.
But on this other end, there have been a lot of selling to drive that down.
And it hadn't.
Losses. A lot of losses.
Yet. All right. Hey, we have some good audio from the day. The market was kind of starting off in the doldrums, and then it shot up right after Donald Trump said this.
And what did you buy?
No, that we just heard that one. Dang it. Right after Trump said this.
I think we're very close to doing something with China, but I don't know that I want to do it, because what we have right now is billions and billions of dollars coming into the United States in the form of tariffs or taxes. So I really don't know, but I will tell you that I think China wants to make a deal. I'm open to making a deal. But frankly, I like the deal we have right now.
So the government's making money off this thing. He says, we keep doing this, I could pay for the wall. I wonder if that's what he's been telling. Look, let's just keep these tariffs going. Even raise them some more. Build that wall.
He's following his own playbook, though, because as China moves toward him, he starts to sort of move away. And
you had that chance. The deal's changed now.
There was some genius that was on Fox Business today, Brian Westbury. He's an economist for some company I never heard of, but he said something I hadn't heard anywhere else. I'm running this by you.
You know, here's an interesting fact, and hardly anybody knows it, and I don't know why it's not being reported, but China has already cut tariffs on their side on 1,500 different goods. They've gone from an average tariff rate of 9.8 in 2017 to now an average tariff rate of 7.5. Mm-hmm. And I've read statements from some of their economists that they want to go down to about 3%, which would be reciprocity.
So
they
are moving.
The same tariffs that we have.
They are.
But from 9 to 7, like, give me a break. That's nothing.
That's 20%.
Okay, it's still nothing. Well, where's zero at? No tariffs.
Well, 3% is what basically we give them. And so if they got down to 3%, he calls that reciprocity. That's basically free trade.
Okay.
Or at least
it's
fair.
It's close.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about as close as you're ever going to get in this
world.
Well,
we're not there at 7.
No, but progress is being made. You don't expect it to be reported in the headlines anytime soon, though.
Oh, no. Actually, it's good news to hear. But, yeah, you know they're thinking because it's a train wreck over there, and they can't let this, from their standpoint, they can't let this go on for too long.
This could be a big weekend.
Hey, you need some daytime help? Want to have a different conversation, more in depth about your situation? Call my office, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.